that absolutely amazes me or makes me stand in awe is the grace of God this day. If there was one thing that just draws my attention to God, it would have to be the grace of God. How sovereign God in heaven would send His only Son to die for a world full of sinners this day is just beyond me. But because of His grace this day, He sent Him to do that. I want to preach out of verse 15, the last sentence there, the last statement. Because of the grace that is given to me of God, I want to preach for a little while on because of grace this evening. Hey, I tell you this day as I stand before you, my name is not Toby Powers, or my name is not Michael Dollar, but I'm like Paul said, I am what I am this day. Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed on me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I want to tell you this day, Paul didn't tell himself worthy to be an apostle, but he didn't go around all the time making himself unworthy. He just went around trying to convince people of the work that God had done in his life. It's not how humilified you get or how unworthy you make yourself. It's that you realize and convince yourself that the work of God has done in you because of grace this day. Oh, I want to tell you something. I think about that, and I'm not bragging on myself one bit. But I've only been preaching 4 years. And I look back at people who have preached before me, and they're no longer preaching. I look at people that I have preached revival meeting with, and I've got one man in mind. I preached revival meeting with him on one occasion, and he preached, and he preached hard. But I think about him right now, and he's locked up in the Grundy County Jailhouse. And the devil has come and destroyed him and destroyed his home. But because of grace this day, I'm still a preaching the Word of God. Because of grace this day, I'm still able to stand behind this nation again. Because of grace. People try to think that the more unworthy they make themselves, the more humble that they make themselves. I certainly disagree with that. Hey, I realize I'm unworthy today. But when I think about the grace of God that's been instilled in my heart, and I see how the grace of God's worked in my life, I have to tell people about it this day. Oh, I tell you, because of grace this day, my works are insufficient. Oh yes, I'm not going to say that you won't have no work, but because of grace this day, my works are insufficient. I tell you this, I've never worked myself to heaven. I've not tried to work myself to heaven. I just want to live right and do that that God have me to do. The Bible says, Romans 11:6, and if it by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. It amazes me how people, they get saved and they still try to work their way to heaven. Hey, I want to tell you something. If you get saved, if you really get saved, you're going to have to work. But these people calling themselves saved and they got a rotten tree not producing any fruit, they never got saved to begin with. They never got it. I don't care what you say. They never got it. I say to you this day, people who say they get saved on Sunday, and I certainly agree what you're talking about, the doctrine of backsliding. But people who say they got saved on Sunday and living like hell on Monday, they never got saved to begin with. I want to tell you this, God's grace lasts longer than 24 hours, bless God. Your works are insufficient this day. It amazes me. People still try to work their way to heaven. They want to try to mix law with grace. And it's never mixed. It's never mixed. It's like oil and water. It just don't mix. It's just like sin and salvation. It just won't mix this day. It won't mix. Your works are insufficient. You may say, well, I come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Well, whoopee-doo. That's your reasonable service like Brother Michael was talking about. Well, I'll come to revival next week. If this is your church, you better be in revival this week. That is your reasonable service to God.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Because of grace this day. Oh, because of grace, I can live right in a wrong world. And you better believe I can because of grace. Oh yes, Paul said in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Hey, I want to tell you something. People running around acting like heathen, running around doing this and that. I guarantee you there's somebody in this community somewhere that's been out all night, been laid up, they're still about half drunk. They don't know that they're in the world. But because of grace this day, I'm at the house of God. I can live right in the wrong world. I don't have to be in the church house to live right. I'll live right tomorrow. I'll live right on Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm just going to live right this day. You can live right in a wrong world because of grace. I begin to think about that. The other day, I had experience with God like I never had. And I didn't go flipping and flopping out, so I don't know if you know. But I had experience with God the other day like I never had. My wife had to work on a Monday. We're normally off together. And I had my little girl, and me and just wouldn't cut out the babysitter. I thank God for women, I'll be honest with you. My little girl was driving me up the wall, and I tell you what, I thought I was going to go crazy. It's daddy this and daddy that. She's running through the house, had every book in the house tore out. My house was a mess. But we were sitting there, we were getting ready to eat lunch, and I sat back on my couch, sat on my recliner, and I had blessed my food. And my little girl just loved cheese. And she said, "Cheese, daddy, cheese." I gave her a piece of cheese, and she looked at it. She said, "Pray, daddy, pray, daddy." And I said a little prayer, and she took one bite of it. She looked at it. She said, "Pray, daddy, pray." And daddy started praying again. She took another bite. Before I knew it, daddy was down on the floor praying to God. And my little girl holding that piece of cheese going, "Pray, daddy, pray, daddy." And because of grace this day, my little girl won't ever have to worry about her daddy coming home drunk. And because of grace, she won't have to hide behind the door because she's afraid that daddy's going to beat up on mama. And because of grace, mama won't have to worry about where the paycheck went. No, sir. Because of grace this day. Oh, you can live right in a wrong world. Oh, hey, I tell you this, because of grace, I can live right in a wrong world. I think about my little girl sometimes, and I've been debating on this. She's only 18 months old, and I thought the way the world's going now, there's no way that I'll be able to send her to public school. And I said, "Lord, I need your help. And the verse come back to me, "My grace is sufficient." Hey, if that's what God wants, there'll be grace for it, I guarantee. Oh, because of grace this day, I can live right in a wrong world. Oh, because of grace, I think about this. You can sing "Amazing Grace" until you turn blue. But until you've experienced amazing grace, you'll never know what you're singing about. I say to you, because of grace, I once was lost, but now I'm found this day. Oh, yes. Ephesians 2:8. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast." Hey, you get a preacher up boasting about what he's doing all the time, hey, there's a good chance he may not even be saved. Amen? Hey, I don't like to hear that. I like to hear a man that's humble before God get up, preach your hide off. Preach about the grace of God when he has to preach it. And preach about living wrong when he has to preach it. That's the God I want. Now, grace, when I think about grace, grace is the unmerited favor of God. Unmerited favor of God. I mean, when you get saved, he just gives you grace. But I thought about this, and I tell you what, the Lord just blessed me. But I thought about this, and Brother Toby come up to me, and he said, "Here you go, Brother Clint, and I certainly do love you, buddy. I certainly appreciate the help you've given me, especially down in that motel parking lot that night. When me and you was talking, and you know what I was going through, and I was just about ready to throw my arms up, and the glory of God swept through that parking lot. It swept all over you, and it swept all over me. I'm certainly glad we still got some men of God that'll stand up and tell the younger men of God, don't throw in the towel yet. You just getting started." Oh. But if Brother Toby come and gave me a gift, And he said, "Here, brother, here's your gift." I certainly wouldn't say thank you. Now, how much do I owe you? But there's people doing that. I hear a song that says, and it's in our old hymnal, and I can't think the title of it right now, but a portion of the song says, "I cannot repay him. I cannot." Hey, I want to tell you something. I'm not trying to repay him. He gave it to us free. I'm just trying to live right. Trying to preach the gospel. Trying to bring my little girl up right. I'm trying to help my wife on her way. I'm not trying to pay him back. Hey, he gave it to us free. He don't want us to pay him back. He just wants us to live right.
Amen. Amen.
Because of grace. I tell you, I certainly believe that we got a lot of people today that are coming to the altar, and they got some apostate preacher down there in their face, Brother Scott, telling them to repeat after me, and you'll be saved. Hey, I want to tell you something. After I hear them saying that, I wonder who got saved, the person that repeated it or the preacher. I'll be honest with you. Now, I ain't got nothing wrong with tracts, I'll tell you that. I've read some tracts in my time that just convicted my heart and set me on fire. But I want to tell you this. There's no telling how many people have read that little prayer in the back and been deceived by it because they think if they read that, they're saved. It takes more than just reading. It takes believing this day. It takes believing. I was talking to a boy on Friday. He was in jail. He was up doing washing our patrol cars. And we got to talking. And he said, "You know what? He was in jail for trying to manufacture methamphetamine. Wouldn't pay child support. He needs to be in jail. I'll be honest with you. He needs to be married to the wife that he's got the child by. I'll just tell you that." But he said, "I ain't paying my child support." And he said, "I tried to manufacture meth." And he said, "I've been so low." He said, "But I've been reading the Word of God." And he said, "It's done something to me." And I said, "Well, bless God." I said, "Let me tell you just a little more." And he sat down and he started listening. And there in the fire hall, the Winchester Fire Department, here was just me, simple old preacher me. I don't amount to nothing. But God set that man down in front of me and I preached to him. I'm just wide as I could preach, just as wide open as I could preach. He said, "I've got one of those easy to read Bibles." I said, "You stay right here." I went and found him a King James. I said, "Throw your easy reader away. This is what will help you on your way." He said, "What do I read?" I said, "Start with John 3:16. Move on to about Romans 8-10. And believe what you're reading."
Amen.
He said, "Can that help me?" I said, "He can save your life. He can save your life." I said, "I can tell you all day long about the Word of God." I said, "But until you believe it in your heart,
right,
you'll never get saved." He dropped his head and he said, "I feel pretty good, but I know I'm not saved." And I said, "I'll pray with you right here." I said, "I'm not ashamed. Let anybody walk through. Let my boss walk through, so be it. If they want to fire me for praying, let them fire me, bless God. I'm going to do it anyway." He said, "I don't want to pray now." He said, "But would you come to the jail and visit me one day?" I said, "You better believe I will." He said, "Will you come Tuesday?" And I said, "Yes, sir." So Tuesday, I'm going down to the jail. And if he's not been saved, I hope to lead him to God. You may say, "Well, I don't believe in jailhouse salvation." Well, I'll say this. I believe that very few people get it in jail, but I believe there's a few that get it. I believe there's a few that have realized they're their way and they want God to save them.
Amen.
The old boy I tell you about is in jail. I tell you, I certainly think he's a true case of backsliding. And my definition of backsliding may not be what some of the rest of the Methodists are, and I've been attacked for it too. I just believe a small percentage of people are backslid. I'll be honest with you. I believe most people that say that they're backslid just never got saved to begin with. And I'll not debate that with you. That's just the way I believe. But I believe he's a true case. And a preacher went to see him. And he said, "Well, I'm glad you come to see them." He said, "But you tell Brother Clint Strub and Brother Andy Lockhart to be out here next Thursday on visitation day." And he come and told me that preacher did. And I tell you what, my heart broke. I said, "Oh God, there's a man in jail that used to know the joy of salvation. And if I could just go back and shine just one glimmer of light, God, just use me."
Amen. Amen.
He ain't read the Bible in over a year. Said it won't have nothing to do with it. After that preacher got talking to him, he called his mama. He said, "Bring my Bible back to me. I just want to read a little while. I just want to read a little while." Hey, I want to tell you something this day. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't have the built-in condemner. I wouldn't have it. Now, when I got saved, I got the Holy Ghost. And I tell you this, when I mess up, I get condemned over it. I feel the chastisement of God because I'm a son and not a bastard this day. I know what it's like to fall into the chastened hand. Hey, I tell you this, people who can live any way and say, oh, God never bothers them, but they're not sons this day. They don't know what it's like to yield to the chastisement of God.
Amen.
But because of grace, I once was lost, but now I'm found this day. Because of grace. And the Lord showed me this one night about 11:15. And I'd read over this before, and it just never stuck with me. You ever done that? You've read it 100 times, and you just never stick with you. But because of grace this day, I'm no longer bound by the law. No, sir, because of grace this day. Fact of the matter is, because of grace, Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in this sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. 4:15 says, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression. You know what that tells me? The law brought about transgression. Yes, sir. It brought about transgression. I want to tell you this, because of grace, the Levitical priesthood went out of business. Yes, sir, they had to. There was no more needed to be a high priest than to go into the Holy of Holies and make sacrifice. When Jesus Christ rose, Paul said, He rose as our high priest, entering one time into the holiest of holies. He set the blood on the mercy seat, and it's been working ever since. A man asked me one time, he said, I preached on that means there. And I said that. He called me off the side. And of course, you know how it is. He'd been in the way for about 40 or 50 years. And I certainly respect a man that will do that and try to help a young man out. I certainly do. And Brother Powers, I appreciate your testimony and I appreciate him. And I tell you this, I believe he's a stern man. But I tell you this, and I believe this, you don't have to be 100 years old to know anything about the Word of God. He called me off the side, he said, now son, he said, you don't really think that the actual blood of Jesus Christ is up in heaven sitting on the mercy seat, do you? I stood up and I said, yes sir, I do. He said, well, how did it get there? I tell you what, he just opened up a door. I said, Jesus took it there. I said, yes sir, there's a time that was not accounted for in the Bible, from the time that Mary saw him to the time he appeared on the disciples. I said, what do you think he was doing? He said, I don't know. I said, he was taking the blood to the mercy seat. He looked at me and he said, I guess you're right. Hey, I'll tell you something. I said, brother, I'm not trying to rebuke you. And I certainly appreciate your concern. But that's just the Word of God. Turn it in Hebrews and read it. He read it and come back. He said, I thank you for that. I said, don't thank me, thank God. I said, he's the one that needs to be thanked. But I like this part. 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Oh, I love this. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, yes. Where sin used to live in my life, where that spot of alcoholism used to be in my life, now grace abounds there. Where that desire to want to look at pornography used to reside here, hey, grace now abounds there. Hey, all the things that I wanted to do in my young life as a lost man, all of that's gone. Where sin abounded, now grace much more abounds. Thank God. I tell you, when I was growing up, and I certainly hope I wasn't a disappointment to my daddy, but when I was growing up, I was raised up strict. I tell you what, I was raised up strict. My dad used to whoop me, and sometimes I thought he used to whoop me when I didn't need to be whipped. He tells me to this day he still owes me one. And I said, well, if you want to give it to me, go ahead. I said, because I'll take it now. He said, oh, son, I left that slip. I said, good, let it slip from your memory and quit bringing it back up. And he kind of laughed. But I was raised up hard. I tell you what, they wouldn't know sin went on around the house. If it was, I didn't see it. I'll be honest with you. My daddy lived right, and some of y'all know him. And you know how he preaches. He preaches the stern truth. He'll hire up the devil. He'll hire up a deacon. He'll hire up anybody. He don't care. And he hire up me many a time. But I want to tell you this. I've seen many a time where the burden of the church be on him so strong. He'd be down in the floor in the bedroom saying, God, I need your help, and I wish you'd just shine your grace on me. Just one more time. And the glory of God sweep through the house, and daddy come through a shout in the glory. Mama be crying. Me and my little brother be sitting there. We didn't really know what was going on, but I just knew God swept through the house. And daddy be there crying in tears. He said, God's going to help me. And by the grace of God, he's still helping him today.
Amen.
I remember one time, me and my wife got into it. Now I realize I'm just preaching myself. I realize none of y'all get into it. Or with your wives. But me and my wife got into it. Right in the middle of a revival meeting. I wasn't preaching the revival, thank God. I wasn't preaching the revival. Because I wouldn't have been able to preach. I'll just be honest with you. I wouldn't have been able to preach. Me and her got into it. And what started out as picking on each other turned into just a brawl. Now I didn't hit her. I wanted to, but I didn't. I'll be honest with you. But we got into it, and it was revival night. The man of God up at Myerfield Church trying to preach the truth. And me over at my house acting like a heathen. And we got ready to go to church, and we just kept going on. It kept getting worse and worse and worse. And we got up to church, and I said, here, get out. She said, ain't you going? I said, I ain't a going. I said, I ain't a sitting in the church house with you. And she said, and I ain't a going either. And I said, well, bless God, I'm going to the house. And we went to the house, and I plopped down on the recliner. And she come over and got in my face. She said, I can't believe you. And I said, I'll just get out of here. And she said, here you are, supposed to be a Christian, and you acting like this. I said, hey, you better go look in the mirror. I said, because you acting like that too. And we got into it, and I said some things I wish I hadn't said. I didn't cuss her out. I didn't do that, but I want to tell you this. The very man that said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Or was a blatant liar. He had never been saved. He was a hypocrite. He wasn't saved. I guarantee you that. I said some hurtful things. I was laying on the bed there. I fell across the bed, and the Holy Ghost went through. And he said, that ain't a dog you're talking to. That's your wife. That's the mate that I give you. And he said, look how you're treating her. And I tell you what, I was trying to brush that off. And I got up and I fell to my knees and I commenced to asking God to help me. And I tried to get up and I couldn't get up. The Holy Ghost had me pinned to the ground. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't get up because things wasn't right between me and God. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for about 45 minutes. And finally God let up on me a little bit. I crawled like a dog to my bathroom. I still couldn't get on my feet. And I knew I was fixing to puke my guts out. I laid my head on the commode. I would do this. I wasn't drunk. I wasn't having a hangover. I wasn't slain in the spirit. I wasn't a charismatic. I was just under the load that the Holy Ghost put on me. And I said, God, if you let up just a little bit, I'll make things right. When I finally come out, I come up to this, had my face on the side of commode. Guess who was sitting there right beside me? My little wife that I'd been talking so bad about. Hey, I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for the grace of God, my home would be torn apart. I wouldn't have a little girl. I wouldn't have a wife. And I couldn't preach the gospel. But because of grace, I'm standing here today. Because of grace, I'm here. I want to say this, and I think about how Paul and his conversion, he certainly experienced the grace of God. And he said this in Galatians chapter 2 verse 21, for I frustrate not the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. But I want to say this to you, and Paul said it many a time, that he died not in vain. I hear the song that there was one drop he shed just for me, but I say to you, he shed it all. He shed it all for me. It just wasn't one drop. If that was the case, they could have whipped him and let him go. But he shed all of his blood for me. Because of grace. Man couldn't be justified by the law. Do you realize that? He couldn't be justified by something that condemned him. And the law condemned. If we had to live under the law today, we'd be in a mess. We can't get to the house of God on Sunday, much less get down to the tabernacle and make sacrifice. It was the high priest. We can't do that. So we'd certainly be in an awful mess if we were still living under the law. I say this, I've had to go around when the seventh day Adventist And if you're Seventh-day Adventist today, just come and get saved. That's all I can tell you. But I've had to go around with them. I preached one night about grace on the radio station, and that woman come and she said, "What day do you worship on?" I said, "I worship on Sunday." "Oh," she said, "you're so far out of God, you don't know what you're doing." I said, "What day do you worship on?" And I knew. And she said, "Saturday." I said, "Seems like to me that was the law." And she said, "Oh yes, we still go by the law." I said, "My God, until you experience grace, lady, you don't know what living is." And she got all mad at me. I want to tell you this day. We was once bound by the law. There was no hope for us. All that the people knew was what the high priest told them. They didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have nothing to tell them that the high priest. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the veil that had been hung so many years was rent in twain.
Amen.
Because of grace.
Amen.
Oh, I thought about that. I've got to hold a meeting at a church later on in the year. And the man, he said, "Will you preach?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll preach it." And I said, "But I just got one question for you." And he said, "What's that?" And behind their pulpit, they got a void section there, I guess, of classrooms and stuff. They got a curtain hanging up. And it's designed after the design of the veil in the Bible. And I said, "Is that designed after the veil?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You need to tear that thing down." He said, "Do what?" I said, "I realize what it represents." I said, "But the veil separated man from God." And I said, "I don't want to be separated from God." I said, "Take it down. Take down the veil. It's not been rent in twain." He looked at me. He said, "We may just have to do that." I said, "If you don't tear it down, your revival means I'll rip her down." And he said, "Well, we may just take it down." And I tell you this, if it ain't down, the first night I'll rip her down. I'm not bound by the law anymore.
Amen.
But I want to say this, don't die lost. Don't die lost, because you'll be judged by it. You'll be judged by it.
That's right.
Because of grace this day, I've been justified because of grace. A lot of times, I think about sanctification, how it works. Sanctification is a daily thing, folks.
Amen.
It's not a one-time thing to me.
That's right.
It's a daily thing.
Right.
I certainly believe we have to separate ourselves from the world daily.
Yes, sir.
If we take one day and not separate ourselves from the world, that will break our fellowship with God. And it could do it eternally. If we don't watch it. If we don't watch it.
Right.
But I think about sanctification. And then I think about salvation. And how they work hand in hand with one another.
Yes, sir.
I certainly believe if you got salvation, you have sanctification.
Yes, sir.
And I certainly believe if you don't have salvation, you can't have sanctification.
Right.
But you know this, preachers stop there many a time at salvation. They stop there. And a lot of times they stop when Jesus said it is finished. They just stop there. And I realize what they were talking about. But it goes much farther than "it is finished." It goes much farther. For if it hadn't been for the resurrection, if it hadn't been for Jesus coming out of the grave, how would we ever come out? How could we conquer death if He hadn't conquered?
Amen. Amen.
Because of grace. Because of grace. But when I think about justification, I just can't help but get tore up. Because it's something that y'all can't see. But it's something that happens up there between the Father and the Son.
Amen.
Justification happens between the Father and the Son. What mankind didn't do. You want me to tell you this? When I was a sinner, I used to justify myself in the things I've done. Self-justification. But I'm certainly afraid that we got some people in the church this day that are self-justifying themselves. You better believe we have.
Right? Amen.
They're trying to justify their evil deeds.
You're right.
But light exposes those. You realize that?
You're right.
Hey, I could take the King James Bible and make it say whatever I wanted it to say if I took it out of context.
Right.
Yes, sir. If I took it out of context, I could make it say whatever I wanted to say. But I certainly don't want to be guilty of doing that. You want to know why? Because I certainly don't want the plagues of the book added to my life. You hear what I'm saying? I don't want that. I don't want to be guilty of taking away or adding to or correcting the Word of God. There was a FCM preacher, and I'll not call his name to save him from the embarrassment, but he was teaching on tongues, and he was doing a good job, I'll be honest with you. And he was taping himself in case somebody wanted to tape. And I don't have a problem with that. Not, but I mean, tapes, you want tape, that's great. Tape all day long. I love listening to tapes. Don't like listening to myself, but I like listening to tapes of other men. It helps me through the week to hear a good message. If I'm at work, I'll stick a tape in, and I hope it's a hide burner at work. Or if it's a glory message, I'm not afraid to throw my hand up in the car. Hey, I'm not afraid to pull out beside just because I wear a badge on my shirt every day. That don't mean that I am the law or that I'm above the law. There's been many a times I've had to pull off the side of the road in the wee hours of the morning and crawl out of that cruiser and get down beside the road and say, God, I need you to come to me. I haven't felt you in a long time. And Lord, I can't find nothing that would cause me to be separated from you. Would you just come? And in the 3 hour, 4 o'clock hour of the morning, God sweep through that patrol car and they'd be giving me a call on the radio and I couldn't even answer because I'd be crying. And I'd just go, say, damn, Lord, how am I going? And I'd show up and the people look at me. I've been to calls before and they'd say, you've been crying? And I'd say, you better believe I haven't been with God. Amen. Yes, sir. Where I work, amen, you can look up on the mountain. I work down in the valley in Winchester. And up on the mountain you can see a big old cross. It's a memorial cross up there that they made to the soldiers that have died in the wars. And it's huge. And it's huge. And you can see it at night from where I'm at. A lot of times I take my binoculars, and I don't work nights anymore, but when I was working nights, I'd take my binoculars and I'd look up there at that cross. And I'd think, oh, if people only knew what that meant. If people only knew what that meant. But there was one morning, it was real foggy. And I couldn't see the cross up there. But as the day went on, and the sun started shining through, I looked up on that horizon, and there stood that cross, shining bright. Hey, I want to tell you something. You may be going through a foggy time in your life, and it may be dark, but because of grace, you don't have to stay there.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, Titus 3:7, I have been justified and made an heir. I have that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Oh yes, I've been made an heir. I've not got much down here, and what I got for I owe, and I try to live within my means. I'll tell you that I try to live within my means. I certainly believe debt is of the devil if you let it take over. I believe that. I believe church people are to pay their bills. I believe they are not owed their creditors. And when you can help it, I realize sometimes you can't help it. I've been there. I've been behind on car payments. I mean, what it had been for mama a couple of times helping pull me out. I've been in an awful mess. But I got a mom up there that loves me. And she say, son, I know you're behind. And I say, mama, you don't know that. And she say, yeah, I did. I read your mail. Mamas just know. Mamas just know. Right before I got married, I got behind. I was policing, wasn't making any money, got behind, and I just couldn't get caught up. I mean, I just could not do it. And I said, Lord, I've got to have your help. And no help was coming right then. And I said, oh, that thing should come take what I got, and I didn't have much. I just needed a ride to work. That's all I needed. But I tell you what, one day I got a letter in the mail. And to this day, and I certainly believe it was my parents, but I couldn't tell you that for sure. But to this day, I don't know who paid it. But it said, you have been caught up, and your balance has been paid up to date. I want to tell you this day, not only has my balance been paid up to date with the Lord, it'll be paid this time next year. It'll be paid this time 10 years from now. And it'll be paid when I die. Because of grace. I want to say this. The grace, folks. Grace is the unmerited favor of God that He's shown down on us. And it amazes me why He would ever do that. It certainly amazes me. I want to tell you this. I certainly believe that grace lasts longer than 24 hours. Fact of the matter is, I certainly believe that it lasts longer than 6 months or a year. Had a man tell me the other night, he called me on the phone. He said, I need to ask you a question. And I said, all right, and I could tell he was angry. He said, why do you preach mad all the time? And I said, I don't. He said, then why do you preach like you do? I said, well, one thing, I'm sick of sin. And I said, second thing, I'm sick of people like you calling me up and doing me that way all the time. He said, well, what do you believe? And so the debate started. And he said, well, do you believe you'll be saved tomorrow? I said, yes, sir. And he said, "Do you believe you'll be saved next week?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "Don't you?" He said, "I believe a man can be." And I said, "I want to tell you something." I said, "By the grace of God, I'll be saved."
Why?
I said, "Because the difference between me and you." I said, "How long have you been saved?" "I've been saved 30-something years." And I said, "Well, guess what? I've been saved 11 years. And I've got a made-up mind. That's the difference between me and you." And I said, "I certainly do love you." And I said, "I hope you make up your mind." And I hung up the phone with him. He called me back. And he said, "I apologize. I've got a made-up mind." I said, I'm glad you do. I said, "Because God's grace is sufficient."
Right.
And he said, "I realize that." That's the message. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know. I have to give an altar call because I don't know people's hearts. And I wish Brother Toby would come up here with me if he would. I certainly appreciate y'all's pastor. But you may be here this day and you may say, "Well, I know I've been saved, but right now I'm just not feeling God." I want to tell you this. I don't wake up every morning feeling God all over me. I don't wake up every morning with a shout on my heart. But you know what? I know God's still there. I know He's still there this day. If you've got a need to pray while we stand, I wish you'd just come and pray. If the Lord pressed on you just to come and pray, I wish you would. That's all I can tell you this day. If you wish to come and pray, I don't know hardly any of you. But I certainly know that the grace of God is sufficient. You say, "Well, do you believe there's different types of grace?" I believe grace is the same, but it's labeled a few different ways.
Yes, sir.
Brother Matthew preached. I certainly believe that there's sustaining grace, for I felt it. I felt the sustaining grace of God in my life. I remember one time I was saved. I wasn't preaching. I got out of the will of God. I was just running out of control. Me and my wife, I went and told her. I said, "I don't love you no more. I said, I don't love you no more. I'm through. I said, I want out." And I said, "You go get the papers. I'll pay for it." And I signed it. I said, "I'm through." I got my car and I drove off. So I don't know. We got to the end of the driveway. God smacked me down. He said, "Son, she's going to be there when you need her. One of these days you're going to need her." And I didn't know what the slightest idea of what he was talking about. And God started calling me to preach. And I'd be when I pray with my bed, and I'd say, "God, I don't want to, I don't want to preach." I said, "I've seen how my daddy's had to go through it." I said, "I don't want to preach." And I got in the car one day, and my wife said, "The Lord's calling you to preach, ain't he?" And I said, "How'd you know?" And she said, "I heard you praying." "Oh, I tell you what, she's not here with me right now. But I guarantee you, sitting up in Tracy City, Tennessee, somewhere, that's because of the grace of God. And she's been praying for her husband down here in Greenville, Georgia. Hey, I tell you what, she come to me. She said, 'I'll not divorce you.' She said, 'I'm just going to love you.' And I said, 'I love you too.' I wrapped her up and we've been together ever since. Because of grace this day." The saving grace of God. There's a saving grace of God. If you've been here and you've been saved, you've experienced the saving grace of God. Oh yes. For see, you can't get saved except by grace through faith. You've been saved, you've experienced the saving grace of God. But I certainly like this. One of these days, if the Lord carries His coming, and the way that things are shaping up in the Middle East, it's no secret that Iraq is ancient Babylon. It's no secret in that. If you'll study the Word, if things are starting to head that way, But if the Lord tarries His coming, one of these days He's going to lay me down in a casket, Brother Toby. They're going to lay me out. And I'll either be in a funeral home or a church somewhere, Brother Scott. Woo! Thank you, Lord. And that's what I'll experience, that died. Oh, I've seen some people before experiencing, Brother Michael. Oh, I've went to the hospitals before visiting with my daddy, and there'd be people there just riddled with cancer. And you look at them, and they'd be so miserable, they'd be just down to a skeleton almost. And they'd be about ready to take their last breath, and they just raise that little dying hand and say, I feel the grace of God. One of these days, I'll experience the dying grace of God. And I'll sweep through the other side of Jordan, and there I'll ever be with Jesus. Because of the dying grace of God. Oh, I tell you what, I'll experience that one of these days. While they say, if you feel the need to pray, just come and pray. I'll certainly pray with you. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Not good, no, not good. Oh, Lord, thank you. I think about we had no hope. I can't get that off my mind. We were trapped. We didn't have any hope. But because of grace, Jesus lowered Himself a little lower than the angels, Brother Michael. He came down and took on the form of bad God, and He died on the cross to give us grace. I think about Noah. Y'all give me just a second. And I'm fixing to quit. But I think about Noah. How no doubt. Then people passed by him and they said, look at that idiot. It ain't never rained. And he's preaching it's going to rain. Brother Michael, I ain't never seen the Lord. But I'm a preacher. He's a coming back. And one of these days He'll come back. Yes, Noah told him. He said, it's going to rain. And they laughed at him. Brother Michael, I've seen people laugh at me before while I was preaching. And I used to let that get to me. But no more. But you know what the Bible says? That Noah found grace. In the eyes of God, he found grace. He found grace. You know what? We can find grace today. In the eyes of God. Y'all say. I think about the grace of God. Toby, I said that a minute. I say I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But when I think about how grace has worked in my life and I see it, hey, if I wanted to leave here this evening and go up to the package store and get me a 6-pack and take off, I could. But because of grace, Brother Michael, I don't want to. Yeah. I just want to live right today.
Amen.
That's all I want to do.
Amen.
That's all I want to do.
Amen.
To just live right.
Yes.
And because of grace. We can do that this day, Brother Toby.
Amen.
The preacher of the Word of God. Now that's helped my soul. Hallelujah. We praise His high and holy name for that kind of preaching.
Amen. That's the right kind of start. I want you to do whatever it is.